family protection, hunting dangerous and delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
It's all for nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel in.
Put out all points buttons. We'll set up roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order.
A new world order.
Attention. Attention.
Government is
an emergency. Repeat. An emergency.
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody.
What kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap. It's time for
Dutch Jones. Jones.
Radio program.
And now for something completely different.
Wow, I just ran up the stairs from the house down below. Thank you for tuning in to Stronghold Radio. We had all kinds of problems yesterday. We got knocked off the air. Let's see if we can stay on today. I'm Dutch Jones, and I'm out of breath because I'm a fat guy fighting for liberty. Isn't that right, Lou? Thanks, folks, for tuning in. Today is, what do we got? It is May 25th, 2011. It's a Wednesday, and we're doing the best we can with what we have to maintain what we've got because they keep trying to take it away. Every day is another attack on liberty global-wise. Here in America, it just gets packaged different, doesn't it? And that's the kind of thing we discuss here. We talk about Christian, militant, liberty, defending the Constitution, defending our faith, fighting all evil, no matter what it comes in, inviting all those who love Jesus Christ, regardless of creed, color, race, nation of origin. As long as you call yourself an American when you're here in our country and you love this nation as it used to be, not as it is now. All kinds of weird stuff going on out there, as usual, which makes my job real easy. Obongos all over Europe while Americans are dying from bizarre weather happenings. All you harp folks are probably happy to hear about that one. More evidence that they're manipulating the weather is just strange stuff. But Obongos overseas, he goes to France and teams up with Sarkozy, and they start screaming that Muammar Gaddafi must step down. He's pointing his crooked finger, Obongo, that is, at Israel, telling Benjamin Netanyahu what to do. Now, I'm no fan of Israel, but a punk like Obama telling Benjamin Netanyahu what to do, it's comical on its face. I mean, outright sheer stupidity and comical. Now, I want to know, on the page, did you put that we wouldn't be on the air today?
No.
Okay, your hair looks hilarious with the headphones on. hey. No grabbing techniques in here right now. No grabbing techniques in here. So, yeah, Obongo is embarrassing us. It's funny, all these terrible things happen when he's out of the country. Have you noticed that? I mean, other than Bin Laden supposedly being killed, the rest of the time he's out of the country. And I do want to put our prayers out to everyone that's in Joplin, Missouri, and Oklahoma, and all the places that for the past several months have been afflicted with these calamities. One thing that is good is I've been noticing, I've been watching the dispatches from the Missouri militias, the Watchman militia and those guys over there. It does my heart good to see militias actually doing what they're intended to do, assisting their neighbors in time of need. We spend far too much time talking about arms and weaponry and all that kind of stuff, and we sometimes neglect that there's a whole other side of it. And that's being the people who come in the middle of the night to be heroes, to fight floods, put out fires, all types of things. The tempest and the insect, whatever it is. And the Missouri militia is doing all kinds of stuff. And on our Facebook page, you'll see some of the postings on there. They're going out. They're everything from just donating blood to bringing blankets, water, digging through the rubble looking for survivors. That's what the militia is for. And that's why they should be there. None of this mamby-pamby, we're just supposed to forget about the militia and depend on the government kind of stuff. Michigan got it right. I keep saying Michigan. Missouri got it right. The Missouri militia. I don't care if it's just 10 guys. You know, you don't know numbers. But the fact that they're constantly going out and trying to help these people And you look at it, to me, a tornado or maybe a tsunami or the, you know, flash flood, of all the things, you know, an earthquake, stuff falls down, you can dig through it. Fires, you know, tend to ruin everything. They're pretty bad. But flash floods and tornadoes spread your belongings everywhere. And all of, even if you're the most prepared person and you don't have an underground bunker, excuse me while I reposition my chair here, you're doomed because your stuff gets scattered all over creation. So it's like the prepper's worst fear. It makes you think about having more than one stash. Get some 55-gallon drums and bury some stuff. Put some stuff in a root cellar if you got it. Of course, if you grow up in that area, to some extent, I mean, we were really blessed for a while. We haven't had a lot of super bad tornadoes until recently. And just the footage of the stuff and the audio. I've been listening to the audio on the radio, just the sheer terror in the voices of people. One woman looking for her teenage son who was swept away in his vehicle while he was on the phone with her. The car just got taken off the road. They haven't been able to find him. You know, the phone lost connection. And you think about these things. You people better be preparing for these. It may not be the New World Order. It may not be a jihad that gets you first. It may be just natural disasters. And I can't think of a better reminder for God to give us than these things. Than to check our gear, check our communication techniques. You know, it took out like 9 cell towers and all the cell phones went down. So everybody's all, oh, we can't communicate. You know, there's going to be lots of video footage and stuff of it because everybody had their technology with them that they depend upon so much. But in reality, they didn't have backups. They didn't have ham radios. They didn't even have simple FRS radios. They can't locate each other. There are something like 120 confirmed dead. There's another 50 they haven't identified yet. I don't know if they're in that number. But there are 1,500 people missing in the Joplin, when you say it enough, it's Joplin, Missouri. It just sounds weird to say, but 1,500 people missing. And, you know, great stories of them actually finding people using the technology where the cell phones work to say, hey, I'm under rubble. But just scary, scary stuff, but an excellent reminder, a great teachable moment for the rest of us. Those of us here in California, where a bulk of my listeners are, whether you're listening on podcast or you're listening live right now, we have a whole lot of live listeners right now. I think people got mad at us because we went off the air yesterday. But before I go into that, let me close this section. Use these disasters as a reminder. Another thing I heard, the thing with Japan, there's stories going around, unconfirmed reports, that a lot of people didn't have faith in their banking systems over there, so they stored their wealth in their homes. They had gold, silver, precious jewels, a lot of currency, Japanese currency, and it's being recovered by the government. Because nobody can lay claim to currency, gold, especially if it was washed away and ends up at the, you know, at the end of the tidal wave stream, tsunami stream, where it ended. The government is seizing the wealth that they're finding, and they're going to apply it to the reconstruction of Japan, because nobody can claim it. If it's just loose bundles of money and chunks of gold, and, you know, how do you identify it unless it's jewelry, and then you have to prove it's yours. So just another little thing there, your wealth. If you're storing wealth, don't leave it under the bed on the second story and think it's secure there in a little stronghold, little safety deposit box. The old days of burying it in the backyard may be applicable these days, but I would say build a little vault, camouflage it, make sure everything's okay. About yesterday, just for those of you that are going to tune in later and hear this, because I see we only have 3 listeners right now, total of 6 views, so 9 people. We contacted NetBlue or whatever, WildBlue, our satellite provider, and they said that it has nothing to do with our equipment. It may have to do that. Are you using Firefox today? Mm-hmm. Okay. They said we may have been using the wrong internet browser, which Lou doesn't believe, and I tend to believe Lou, but we're doing it anyway. They said that it was too many people using the satellite at the same time in our community. And in fact, they won't allow any more people to buy the satellite service here, rural internet service. And they said, I said, so you're telling me that my internet's going to be interrupted between 5 and 7 every day because that's peak hours? And they go, well, it's not an interruption, it's a slowdown. I said, well, I completely get disconnected from the internet. So you're telling me that that's standard operating procedure? No. So, well, can we upgrade? And they gave us this information. We can upgrade for more bandwidth, meaning we could do more hours a day, but the connection speed and connectivity, everything stays the same. we'd have to pay another $450 one-time fee, and then an extra about $50 or $60 a month. So we're not going to do it. We don't get enough donations anyway to cover it. I'm not even covering the cost of doing this show now. So we're just going to keep muddling through it. What we may do is we may push the show back an hour, start at 6, which means on Wednesdays we wouldn't do a show because we usually just do 1 hour on Wednesdays because of Bible study. But we don't want to – what's the word I'm looking for? Hey, Scouty38, thank you for tuning in. Better late than never. But so the only answer for us to maintain streamability and uninterrupted service for our small group of valued listeners is if we get out of this location and move somewhere where DSL is provided. And we're not going to be able to do that unless right now we're getting about, I think we make about, if we're, no, it's more than that. If we get about $150 to $200 a month right now, and that doesn't cover our costs for electricity, paying for the room, internet access, paying for our website, all that kind of stuff. But what we can do is if we get $500 a month, we can pay $300 a month, $350 for a room somewhere that has a phone line in it and DSL in it. And then an additional like $50 a month, and then the electricity. So that's where we come up with about the $500 level, so we can turn on the lights, turn on the internet, get a phone in there, and then pay the rent and you know utilities and stuff, and we will operate out of there. And if we do that, this will become a 24-hour network. We will go 24 hours a day, and you will be able to pick up the signal and rebroadcast it. I will run Mark Kornke. I will run all kinds of good stuff. We'll run sermons from our pastors, from our guests. Lou will have his own show where he discusses what he found in his toenails that day if he wants to. What do you think of that, Lou?
No.
No? Stacy will have a... What kind of show would you have? You have no idea? If you could do any show, what would it be, Stace? A music show, see? And then I, of course, would come on and talk for several hours a day. I could easily do 4 hours if all these other things were covered. Because you know what we had to do today? We had to go out and we'd eat for several hours just to pay our bills. So, you know, so I spent about 2 hours in prep and on the stuff we're going to talk about in the next hour. But I just want to let you guys know that those of you that are tuning in late, those of you that are getting it on podcast, what is that? I'm feeling something on my leg.
No, it's me.
Oh, or the dog. Let's see here. Dun, dun, dun. I got all kinds of stuff here. Okay, here we go. Let's see. Okay, I told everybody we're on the air. Oh, I love this story. Okay, our friends in Texas, the Lone Star Republic, talking, you know, the 10th Amendment stuff, seceding. They're doing all kinds of stuff to try and keep the federal government off their back. And when it comes to the TSA employees groping children, all that, there are bills right now being decided and to make groping people in an airport without just cause basically a felony and that they'll arrest the TSA people. You guys have heard the build-up to it. Well, the government has come back. In fact, people were telling me today that there were numbers to call to push it. Well, I'm not in Texas. That's something for the Texas people to do. You can't have it both ways. You can't say it's all about state rights and then ask people outside your state to lobby your politicians. That's what's wrong with the process is everybody's telling states what to do. What was that?
Well, it sounds like something's
flying. Flying? You mean down the road or above our heads?
Okay.
I don't know. Go check it out. See what it is. Is there a way for this page to go? Well, basically the crux of the government's answer is they're invoking all these clauses and fancy things and laws that are being misapplied, of course. They're saying if Texas does that, if Texas does not allow us to grope little boys and molest old women, we're not going to let planes fly there. So let me read this to you. Now, I'm getting this from blogcritics.org, blogcritics.org, and the headline of this is DOJ threatens to turn Texas into a no-fly zone. So that means the UN would come in and secure it and all that stuff. In a development which may be the first constitutional crisis to come out of the growing state sovereignty movement, the Federal Department of Justice has threatened to shut down air travel in Texas if the Texas legislature moves through with passage of a popular bill limiting the power of the Transportation Security Administration within the state. Now, this bill, HB 1937, is one of two bills authored by Representative Dave Simpson, a Republican from, I think it says RLC, I don't know what that is, from Tyler, Texas, designated to prevent the TSA from implementing unpopular security measures within the state of Texas. It would make it a felony for TSA agents to engage in certain forms of intimate touching during the course of an enhanced pat-down of an airline passenger. If a complaint were made against TSA personnel, they could be arrested and charged by local law enforcement. That's where the sheriff comes in. Now, Simpson's other bill, HB 1938, so you got 1937 and 1938, addressed high-intensity scanners and stalled in the Texas House of Representatives, but the anti-groping bill passed the House unanimously. Yay! It was approved unanimously by a Senate committee and was expected to pass with strong support in the Texas Senate today. This is the point, so it may have already passed and the governor has to sign it. You guys have to keep me up on that one. I don't have news. This is the point at which the federal government intervened. Reports began circulating on Tuesday of TSA bureaucrats, non-elected people, read fascist, descending on the state capitol to lobby legislators against the bill, and then John E. Murphy, U.S. Attorney for the Western District of Texas, issued an official letter on behalf of the Department of Justice to state legislators, which threatened an injunction against the bill if it passed, as well as stating that if an injunction were not granted, the TSA would likely be required to cancel any flight or flights for which it could not ensure the safety of passengers or crew. This is extortion. Saying, okay, Texas, you want to keep us from putting our hands down babies' diapers and fondling old women's breasts and doing, you know, faggot stuff with grown men and so we can fondle their junk? The Department of Justice makes the argument in the letter that under the Supremacy Clause of the United States Constitution, which is always misinterpreted by the Federals, Texas has no authority to regulate federal agents and employees in the performance of their federal duties or to pass a statute which conflicts with federal law. Now, this argument is weakened by the fact that it is not clear that the TSA even has a legitimate federal jurisdiction over airports which are operated by local or regional airport authorities under state and county governments. And some of them are just outright private companies. Why are the feds even there? They're there by invitation. Several major airports in other parts of the country have been able to opt out of TSA services. San Francisco did, actually, and employ private security instead. And Texas airports could certainly provide adequate security as they did before the TSA takeover and invasion. And I love that concept because so many people just assume the strength of the federal government. You know, oh, we can't do anything that overrides the federal. You can't have it both ways. You can't have it both ways, you know. States are prima facie, but yet everybody goes to the federal government for protection and aid. They're there just to regulate commerce and defend our borders. That's it. And I don't see how you could argue that passenger traffic is commerce, especially if they're going from private airport or civic airport at state level to, you know, May at Dulles, yeah, at Reagan International Airport, yeah, let the TSA group all they want. People don't have to fly in to the District of Columbia or Puerto Rico or any of the other places where the federal government has the right to do it. But yet they're gonna throw this supremacy clause around. There is no supremacy. I've seen it before in land grabs where they use it. Now, another powerful argument against the DOJ position is that the proposed legislation specifically protects the Fourth Amendment right to be free from unreasonable search and seizures. But, however, we know the Supreme Court just shot that down, a protection which supporters argued the TSA regularly violates. No kidding. If the TSA is behaving unconstitutionally, can the federal government legitimately defend their actions? You no longer have a right to resist law enforcement, even in an unlawful act. That's what the federal government has decided. In an unprecedented development on Tuesday, as the bill was being debated, Lieutenant Governor David Dewhurst took to the floor of the Senate, organizing opposition to the bill and generating support mostly from Democrat lawmakers to pressure Senator Patrick to withdraw it. So the lieutenant governor is a scumbag. In response to the federal threats and weakening support from intimidated lawmakers, yeah, they're saying, oh, this is just bullies. Yeah, let's give in to the SS. Let's give in to the Gestapo tactics. They call that intimidation when people are telling them to vote for liberty? Senator Dan Patrick, R. of Houston, withdrew the bill from consideration on Tuesday, though it is hoped that it will be put back on the docket for Wednesday, defending the bill on the Senate floor. Senator Patrick declared, there was a time in the history of the state where we did not cower to rules and policies that invade the privacy of Texans. Amen. This was a come and take it moment. The federal government came in and bullied the state of Texas today. They said, if you dare pass a bill that makes us change our policy, then we threaten to close down your airports. Local citizens groups which have backed the bill are working hard to generate calls and emails to legislators and the officials in support of the bill, including Support Dignity, Stop Austin Scanners, and the Republican Liberty Caucus, that must be what RLC is, of Texas. Similar legislation is being considered in New Hampshire, Utah, Alaska, Florida, Pennsylvania, and New Jersey. I thought people in New Jersey like to get groped. I've watched Jersey Shore for about 35 seconds. The fate of the Texas bill will likely determine how this sort of legislation fares in other states. With public sentiment overwhelmingly against the TSA after numerous reports of inappropriate searches, federal authorities may be touching a match to a powder keg with their intimidation tactics. If you want to contact Texas legislatures, do so. Just Google Stop Austin Scanners. Stop Austin Scanners, Google it, and they have all the phone numbers there, although I don't want to meddle in another state's rights. So, okay, where are we here? Let's go back over here. Let's see. We've only got a couple people in here. This is really weird. Thank you for tuning in, Scotty, and I appreciate everybody listening on Channel 2 in upstate New York. And anyone that's ever been groped by TSA, I haven't flown since they started doing this. I flew right after 9/11 and found out I was on the no-fly list. For being a seditionist, and so I haven't been able to fly. They're about to enact TSA on trains, Amtrak and such, so I probably won't be able to do that anymore. So this isn't something that I've experienced. I've never been groped by one of these guys. They made me take my shoes off, and they went through my computer bag, but they quite honestly did such a terrible job. If I had been a terrorist, it wouldn't have mattered. They didn't even inspect my bags properly. And I actually got ammo on the plane. I'm talking November 15th, that soon after 9/11, to November 30th. I went to Hawaii, and I had 22 ammunition spread throughout my camera bag, and they never even detected it. They did the little daub thing. They had a dog. They never detected it. So they ran it through a scanner, never detected the ammo, which honestly surprised me. I thought I was, you know, when I got to our place where we were staying in Hawaii, I thought we were dead. You know, I'm just like, I can't believe this. They're going to send somebody after me, you know, because I didn't know what they were capable of at that point. But now, just another example of them not doing their job, they're going to come after, you know, just grandmas and grandpas and people in wheelchairs and just their typical thing. But the states need to stand up. It needs to be more than Texas. Where are the other 10th Amendment states? Why didn't Montana do this? They should be working together. If, say, 20 to 30 states did this all at the same time, it would overwhelm the federal government. And the article talked about being a match to a powder keg. Yeah, that's what we need. I say it all the time. We need a Concord and Lexington issue. I really don't know what it's going to be. I don't think it's going to be taxation because people have been beaten with that stick long enough. They just don't care. It's not going to be resistance to the war because people just let them do whatever they want. Search and seizures, I don't know. Right here in the state now, we're fighting over roadblocks. In California, they do just random car searches. They say they're looking for DUIs, but they're really looking for whatever they can to generate revenues. They're seizing hundreds of vehicles a day.
Property.
They're taking property. Stacy just sat down again. Is everything okay out there? I saw you watering the plants.
It's something weird, Nick's
probably running a weed chop or a shredder.
Or a tractor or something.
It's not our tractor, is it?
No.
Nobody's driving our tractor around.
No. It's on my property way over.
But I want you folks to think about that. I want you to start looking for these key trigger issues. And only you know in your state, around your community, what's going to work. I can't tell some guy in New York what's going to be the issue. But we've got to find these things and we've got to exploit them. It's just the leash. Never mind. So that's what we're doing. Yesterday, just as I was about to talk about our Larry Wick training, Lou decided to unplug everything.
No.
Uh-huh. Then we got knocked off the air. So I'm going to try it again today. We're only going to do 1 hour today. Even though we don't have Bible study tonight, I'm only going to do an hour because we're on at the peak time right now. And I just don't trust this computer system. So we may end up just doing 1 hour shows from now on. But we'll see. I want some feedback from the people that aren't listening. I mean, nobody's here right now. I mean, I got me and when I didn't mean that, Scotty. You're somebody. In fact, you're a big somebody because you rebroadcast us. You're our most important listener. And then guests, thank you for tuning in, guests. I'm sure Olima is there. A couple other people from Facebook. We appreciate you listening. And as long as I told Lou, he goes, Lou says there's only a couple people. I said if there's one person listening, I'm doing a show. and I ran up here. I'm not going to tell you why I was delayed, but it involves the latrine. But, man, I shouldn't have had leftover chili for breakfast.
I don't know what pizza
it means. Yeah, you too? It's from lunch. Something we got at the restaurant, probably from the salad bar.
I got it, too, before.
Huh?
I got it just before the show, too, at 3.
You did, too?
Yeah.
Okay, so what? You didn't have salad, so it had to be the pizza.
Yeah.
Yeah, the pizza we had for lunch was bad. Great. Oh, well, we're lightweights. When it happens, every once in a while I try to spoil the family, and we take them out, like, once a week for, you know, restaurant food. And figures. It was that barbecue chicken pizza you got. You had to get fancy. Well, I only had one bite of it, though.
And it wasn't even the pizza. It was the chicken.
Yeah, I just had a piece of the chicken, so I don't know. Okay, so we're going to try this. We're not going to do a break today, Lou. We're just going to jam-pack half an hour full of information for our lovely listeners and our pod people. Folks, we, over the weekend, did the Larry Wick training. Lou and I got some personal one-on-one training, as everybody did. Then we did the classroom. It was basically a two-and-a-half-dayer. It was like Thursday for half a day, and then Friday and Saturday. We didn't do a Sunday one. They needed to get out of here. Plus, quite honestly, he taught us everything he could teach us. It's a multi-level concept. It's not... I can't even explain it. Now, those of you that listen to the interview, he tried to explain it, but you have to experience it to understand it. It's a mixture of real loose, real relaxed concepts, not techniques, concepts, where you fight the body's natural urges to do an adrenaline dump, to twitch, to do a, you know, fight or flight type thing. You've got to make it look like you're surrendering by dropping, relaxing, but yet you're not. You're still very lethal if you want to be, or you can just simply break the contact. It's not about fighting. It's about being nice. Right, Lou? It's about being nice and what?
Professional.
That's right. And causing the person to stop doing what he's doing. And if you want to use, I'm going to use some terms that don't apply. If you want to use deadly force, it's them doing it to themselves. They cut themselves. They shoot themselves. They fire the weapon next to their head because they have no other option, because you've tied them up like an octopus, and you get away. And it requires no muscle. It requires no speed. It's not about rapid speed. Although there are some things that, like when I pinned him to the wall with an M4 to his chest and pulled the trigger and he was able to get away without me hitting him. That is speed related. But it's also causing the person's perception to not even want to shoot. It's not chi. It's not the force. It's not anything you could possibly imagine. The Larry Wick system of split-second survival is something you need to experience. And you need to go to splitsecondsurvival.com and arrange for a class. He has different prices, different group sizes. You need to negotiate that with him. Just tell him you heard about it from Dutch Jones.
The videos aren't enough.
The videos, all the videos do is show you that it's unique and it's different. But you, if you get just the videos and practice them, that's not it. His lawyers won't let him teach the stuff that he wants to teach you, the basic concepts that you find on the tape. The video is different. And he's actually developed beyond those. He's got new stuff that just goes way beyond, and it's amazing. You don't have to be a steroid freak. In fact, it's better that you're not. You don't even have to be in shape, although I still encourage people to get in shape, especially me running up the steps here. Of course, I just had massive diarrhea before. See, I shared that with you because you're family. You're all part of my big, happy Dutch Jones family. But it was just amazing. And to take on, the key thing was he had... Lou, I won't give the other people's names. Lou, two soldiers, a Marine, 3-4,
an
MMA fighter, and then just a regular civilian who goes to our church, a young man who took the class. Each armed with a knife, put those knives to Larry's body, pressed them against everywhere from his... Lou was going to cut off his ear. Was that you? No, that was Sean. You were in his armpit, to his belly, to his neck, to his torso, 6 knives. In the blink of an eye, he caused them all to injure themselves, plus got a knife away and went around the circle cutting throats in the blink of an eye. And he did it twice. Because you just don't believe it. I can't explain how it went. I mean, it was just amazing stuff. People say, why didn't you videotape it? Why didn't you do this? You need to experience it firsthand. It's a concept. And I'm going to apply this concept to everything I do. Even weed eating today. We applied the physical concepts of the body dynamics to keep ourselves from being fatigued. In this concept, I almost say fighting system, because it's not. You're not fighting. You're making the enemy do everything. You could take on attackers as easily as you're walking through a mall. It takes less energy than playing putt-putt golf. But the different grips that he shows, reworking your brain so that your hands manipulate things differently and around different ways, different ways of holding people. There's only three strikes in the whole thing, conceptually wise, basically. There's two strikes to the back of the neck if you want to take it to a lethal level. But you strike both sides of the neck with a part of your wrist and the throat with this special open hand curling into a loose fist, rolling up the Adam's apple and striking it if you have to stop them. Move. Three strikes. There's no kicks. There's no holds. There's no lockouts.
No punches.
I mean, there's no punches. No, it's like, why would you punch somebody? You break your hand. And all you're doing is when you punch somebody is you wake up their body. You cause them to just dump adrenaline and they become monsters and they kill you. Strangleholds, all that stuff was practiced. Even garrotes. He says, I love these two concepts. If they're using piano wire, you're dead. There's nothing I can show you to get out of that. I love it. If somebody wants you dead, you're dead. If somebody puts a knife to your neck, things are good. It means they want something from you. Now, depending on what they want from you, that may not be good, but they may just want your wallet and go away. But they haven't killed you yet. He says prison guards always ask him, okay, we need you to teach us how not to get stabbed. He goes, I can't. You're going to get stabbed. If somebody wants to stab you, they're going to stab you. If somebody wants to kill you, there will be a moment when you're not alert that they will kill you if they're dedicated. Some of the other things he taught us, we asked him specifically to train us how to deal with disruptive, dangerous, insane, loud, you know, different levels of threats in the church during a service. We put together a team. What was there, six or seven of us that he trained? I can't remember how many it was. But we're going to practice regularly. There's just the legal implications are massive, of course, because we're in California. And my instincts, coming from law enforcement, military, and self-defense classes, if somebody's in danger, you know, Lou, you take them low, I'll take them high, and we'll see if we can break them on the way down. No, it was completely different. It was just coming up. It was all trying to control the brain. The brain is the most important thing on the enemy that you need to control. Through touching, restrictive holds, not locks, but restrictive holds, just escort him out real quiet. And if he takes to the next level, you do put him in a crossover armed hold, and you take him out. It's knowing what to do before you need to know how to do it, and you only get that way from practicing. And this Larry Wick, get ready for a break, this Larry Wick system, I could go on for an hour about how great it is, but I won't. We'll get back to some topical things and some other things that I think you need to know and some future training events here at the church that I'm opening up to listeners to come up to. And we didn't get Code 20 on last night, and I apologize for that. Maybe we can get them on Friday night or something, because we can do that from the other location. Maybe we'll have a special edition Friday night with Steve Klein. Okay, Lou, are you ready yet? You should always have something ready. I know I told you no break. I apologize, Lou. I set you up for failure. But you never know. In case I suddenly have a heart attack, you need to have a song ready to go at all times. Go ahead and just play it. Okay, folks, we're going to be back after the break simply because I need water. I'm dry mouth and I'm sweating. And I will talk to you after the break. You're listening to Stronghold Radio.
The song you are about to hear is true. Though some of the events described have not occurred in the life of the author, they have occurred in the lives of thousands of other revenue-oppressed Americans. The author disclaims any responsibility or liability for any loss incurred as a consequence of the use and the application of any of the following information, which is not provided for the purpose of rendering any legal advice or professional service. In other words, this song is totally frivolous and without merit.
Not. Last April, right around tax time, along with my 1040 form, I sent the IRS a message to tell them they was wrong. And I told them I was sick and tired of playing their cheating game. And as for all my honest, hard-earned wages, to them they never had no claim. Because I never worked in Puerto Rico, nor lived in Washington, D.C. I wasn't under their jurisdiction, and there was nothing they could do to me. Since I've never ever been an employee of the federal government,
I ain't liable for, no subject to, no, I've never owed you one red cent. But let me tell you, it's dangerous to be right when the government is wrong. They'll trample down your rights as they break inside your home. They'll terrorize your sweet bride as they put the hard lean on. This is dangerous to be right when the government is wrong. Now it didn't take them very long before they garnished all my hard-earned pay. Then they repossessed my pickup truck and had it towed away. And then they up and seized my bank accounts as they auctioned off my family farm. And to keep me from proving my innocence, well, they shackled me in iron. Now let me tell you, it's dangerous to be right when the government is wrong. They'll trample down your rights as they break inside your home. They'll terrorize your sweet bride as they put the hard lean on. This is dangerous to be right when the government is wrong. Now the truth about the IRS code is that it's fraudulently misapplied. Because the legal definition of taxpayer is exclusively derived. So all you agents of the evil IRS are in reality a bunch of thieves who are working for the foreign bankers to bring America to her knees. So listen up, you international banksters, and all you traitorous congressmen, and all you low-down, lying, thieving, cheating lawyers, better leave the country while you can. Cause when the people find out the truth about how the income tax is based on fraud, they're gonna rise up all across this nation. They're gonna rout you vipers out, by God. To use the famous words of Andy Jackson, we're gonna rout you vipers out, by God. And then it's gonna be dangerous, cause we're right and the government is wrong. We'll trample down their rights as we break inside their homes. We'll terrorize their sweet brides as we put the hard lean on. Yes, we're dangerous, cause we're right, and the government is wrong. Yes, we're dangerous, cause we're right, and the government is wrong.
With explicit reservation of all rights without prejudice per UCC 1-206.
When the crash does come, when there is a natural disaster, during civil unrest, the last thing you want to be is a refugee. So check out DutchJones.info. That's www.DutchJones.info. We have the supplies you need and the information you will need. That's www.DutchJones.info. Welcome back to Stronghold Radio. Coming to you live from Cahuilla, California, the belly button of Central California with a K, the People's Republic thereof, the socialist state, the left coast, the worst coast, an unlikely place for liberty, but yet we're here like an outpost of liberty. A friend of mine has a little concern called the Outpost of Liberty, Fred Bader down there in Hanford. I like that, Outpost of Liberty. We are the Stronghold. This is where people turn to for information, for guidance, for fellowship, with a militant, separatist, Christian worldview. That's a mouthful, isn't it, folks? I want to thank you for tuning in. I want to thank our pod people. I want to thank everyone who listens through Facebook, the downloads, people who share, even the guys buying our shows off of eBay. I love that somebody's selling our shows for a dollar each. God bless them. That's America. I don't mind. As long as you use the entire show, you can rebroadcast it on any Patriot Radio network. That goes for our sermons. And our, what are they called? America's Providential History that Lou does. Well, the pastor doesn't, but Lou's responsible for it. So I want to thank people for listening to those. I want to thank Olima. Olima, Olima, Olima. What a ministry you have. We have more people listening on podcasts than we do live usually. We average about 950 hits a day. Just people checking it out, but we don't know if they listen to the whole show. But we know when Olima sends us a link and it shows 1,400 people downloaded a show, it's because they listen. They listen, and so that's good. I'd like to thank Scotty up there in New York for rebroadcasting us. People hate it when I use the word pirate because they said, well, we're not pirates because the airways belong to us. I love the word pirate. I got in pirate radio when I was 10 years old and still kept. I just found out that a pirate radio station I started in a town that I call my hometown is still on the air. I typed in pirate radio looking for a movie, which is a 1960s movie, a weird documentary about pirate radio in England. I don't recommend it. But anyway, I typed in pirate radio, and number two was the pirate radio station that I and a guy named Dave, I won't give his last name, he's a Nazi now anyway, started in a basement, and people are still doing it. The voice of the icebergs, Penguin Radio. I love it. And somebody obviously heard about it and just stole the name, because the names that were on there, I don't know who they were. Of course, nobody uses their real names. But that's what we do. Folks, we've got all kinds of training coming up here. We're doing 2 to 3 trainings a month now here. And in June, let me look at the calendar here. Let me fold up our little calendar. Is that June? June. Can you turn on the light, please? My bad eyesight. June. What is this? I can't see. Okay, I got to tilt my 18th and 19th. I got to use my bifocals long distance. June 18th and 19th is going to be a two-dayer. June 18th and 19th, if you can get to the church at Kaweah, email me at dutch@dutchjones.info for directions. And here's what we're going to do. What are we going to do, Lou? Oh, the first day, we're going to work through what to do if somebody attacks a building. That's the best way I can put it. I'm not going to give it some fancy title. We're going to use our church. We're going to do evacuations. We're going to do disaster trauma training. Some of our people have already had the training. We're going to work this in with our CERT program. But anybody can do it, because I'm going to teach you on the fly. So Saturday from 10 to about 5, we'll break for lunch. We're going to evacuate the building, do head counts, do room searches, room clearing. We may even work in some with the team that did the Larry Wick, though. You'll get to witness it, but you won't get to participate, because Larry Wick was very explicit, and I signed a very nice form that said, I will not be teaching others. So only those that receive the training will be on the security team, but there are so many other roles to fill. Medical, transportation, meaning carrying on a gurney, getting them out of the building, being villains, being victims. We're going to do all that. We're going to start from beginning to end, everything that you need to know when something bad happens in a public place. I don't care if it's a mall, a church, your office. We'll go over that, how to come up with an evacuation plan, how to treat those people that need treating, how to make sure everyone gets out in a timely fashion. And these are things that you can take home to where, even your home. If you've got a big family, you may need it. Even a small family needs an evacuation plan. And we'll do all that. And then Saturday evening, remember, it's summertime, we'll have about another 3 hours. We can do some range time. And if people want to come out, and we'll do what I like to call an open shoot. We still have range officers. We still obey safety. I'll work with you folks. Just be real honest with me and tell me, you know, what level of experience you're at. Don't overstate your experience. It happens all the time. I had a guy do it this weekend. Oh, I've been through a class. I know how to do it. And he kept waving his weapon around and finally just said, put it away. Be honest, and you'll get the training you need. That's what we're here for. I am your humble Christian servant on the airwaves as well on the range. And I will do whatever I can to make sure that you understand that the ins and outs of the weapon that you've chosen or been given or defaulted to. So we'll do that. There's going to be so much good stuff. You're going to learn how to categorize wounds. You're going to learn how to treat wounds. You're going to learn how to debrief a team after they've gone through it. You're going to learn to make sure that your whole team gets out. I know that sounds like simple stuff, but try doing it when people are screaming and yelling. Try doing it when I'm screaming and yelling in your ear to distract you. Right, Lou? You kind of forget all your training, don't you, when I do that, huh, Lou? You're shaking a fist at me. Remember the first triage training we did, and I was screaming and yelling, and you just kind of locked up? I'm not doing it to hurt you. I did it, too, my first few trainings. But you're not going to know how to do this or have any faith or trust in your training unless you get tested. So that will be Saturday. Now, Sunday's not going to be a full training day. It's going to be fellowship with about 3 hours of training. So what we're asking people to do is come out, get here by 10 a.m. Saturday. We're going to all camp outside and tell stories. We're not going to have a campfire, though, unless we could maybe have a campfire if we camp up there. Depending on how many people want campfire, we can either camp right next to the church, because I don't want to burn the grass. The pastor loves the grass. Unless somebody brings one of those portable fire stands, which we don't have. But we could be up on the field and have a fire, no problem. Or right out here and have a fire, you know, whatever. But we're going to camp over. The church will be open for those of you that are bringing ladies and children that don't want to poop in the woods. We don't ask you to poop around the property, so we ask that you use the toilets. So we'll have restrooms open and a kitchen facility for you to use if you don't have camping gear. But I ask you to bring all your bug-out gear and put it to a test. So after we shoot, we'll have camping. I'll continue to train people if they want to, or we'll just tell war stories. We're going to have, hopefully we'll have, I know we'll have at least one Marine. We'll have Josh. Josh said he'd come to it. And then Catherine, and Nelson. I am so sorry. I know you guys listen. I can't remember names. I'm terrible. But I remember little Joshua. Looks like Tarzan as a baby. I love him. He's adorable. About 5 years old, isn't he? But they come along, you know. And this is something for the whole family. You won't need a babysitter. The kids can get involved. When my daughter was here, she was a victim. We threw her under a slab of concrete, pinned her with bricks. No, I'm just kidding. We used the rescue dolls. Yeah, we should have her that. We'll have her that weekend. So she's going to have fun. We're going to have her that weekend in June. So I really, really encourage you guys to come out for this. But Sunday, church starts at 10. If you want to train in the morning for something, I'll be around. But 10 a.m. we have church. Noon we have chow. And immediately following chow, we're going to get into disaster psychology. And this is an important class because it helps you deal both with the victim and yourself. And a lot of you that haven't been tested, and that doesn't mean there's anything wrong with you. Those of you that haven't seen death, haven't seen traumatic death, haven't seen human beings disfigured by whatever mechanism of injury, we're going to expose you to that. We're simply going to show videos and pictures and whatever I can scrounge up that from my collection of things that I have and help you to take the shock out of it. Plus, we'll give you some mechanisms to deal with it. And also ethics, how you deal with it when you're dealing with loved ones, those types of things. Now, the pastor is going to teach some of that, I think, because he's had to go out on police calls when they fished children out of the river here and automobile accidents when drunk drivers have splattered people. He's gone out to those things and helped with the family. So he'll have an interesting take on it. I'll give you the fireman law enforcement point of view, rescuer point of view, and how you deal with it. And we're going to spend only an hour doing that. It's very graphic. The kids can go into the nursery and play. I don't encourage you at all to let your kids see these pictures. I'm even tempted to let little old Lou, the tender fella right here, stop threatening me with your fists, see it. I definitely won't let Anthea see it. I may not let Ruger see it. I don't know if he's old enough yet. But what we'll do then is we'll break after that for everybody to go vomit and do whatever they got to do. And then we'll come back and we're going to talk about team structure. And this will honestly... The rest of the stuff's going to be review and things we're going to build about team structure is something I really want you to pay attention to. It's so hard working with civilians. They don't want to follow the chain of command. We're going to talk about that. You're responsible for your job and your job only and safety of everyone else. That's it. If we're working on a cribbing situation, which means we're lifting a block and putting wood underneath it, for those of you that don't know, you'll understand after you go through the first day of training, because we're going to do some cribbing training again on Saturday. Practice. We've already done the training, but if you haven't done it, you'll catch on. These things are simple. It's just, they're so simple, they're easy to screw up. So if your job is putting the blocks under, that's what you worry about, keeping your hands free, not telling the triage crew what they need to do, not worrying about the victim. I know that's hard, but we've got to get your mental state to the point where you're part of a team, not a bunch of individuals trying to work together and shout each other down, because that's inevitably what happens. It ends up in the shout fest, and that's part of the training, is to show people their flaws. If every training is positive and everything goes great, that means you're not training your people hard enough. You're not testing them. You're not putting them through the crucible. Now, I don't do it total failure every time, because I don't necessarily want to do that. I don't want to break people's will, but I want to show people, hey, maybe you're not cut out to do this part. Maybe you're not for digging in rubble and tunneling. You know, it's like Charles Bronson in The Great Escape. He was afraid of confined spaces, and they didn't know it till it was, you know, a bad time when they were escaping. You've got to figure out what it is you want to do and can do, and then try to get your team leaders to understand that. A good team leader would ask, I'm going to ask, and what do you want to do? You may just want to sit outside and do the bookkeeping. I know that sounds stupid. Bookkeeping? Why does a militia need to do bookkeeping? Think about it. If a building collapses and there's 100 people in there, and bodies start getting taken away, and survivors start getting taken away, and then loved ones show up, how would you feel if you showed up at a collapsed school and you said, where'd you take my daughter? Who? I don't know. Ambulances are just going every which way. I have no idea. We don't even know if she's dead or alive. There has to be a dedicated group of people, the bigger the event, the bigger the team, to do nothing but make sure they get the names and routing of every single victim. The names of every rescuer, the names of every administrator and every agency, so that everything can be logged to make sure that nobody gets left out. There is nothing more important to me in a disaster than being able to tell a loved one, even if their person is dead, where they can go. Okay, it's to the west parking lot. There's a morgue set up there. You know, and you know, that's part of the psychology. How do you break it to him? Oh, yeah, he did. Where's my little Billy? Oh, let me look. Oh, he did. He's going to be on the playground under a blue tarp. No, that's not how you do it. That may be how Lou does it. Lou's laughing over there.
I kill him.
I check him for change. So that kind of stuff. Communications, another critical thing. Safety. Somebody has to be in charge of rotating those teams in and out so that they don't break from the psychological and physical demands of a rescue. Putting these teams together is critical, and they apply not just to calamities, but to martial things. The same leadership qualities, same team ability, same esprit de corps, same attention to detail applies specifically to both sides of the coin for the militia. Whether you're fighting with arms or you're rescuing people, things still need to be documented. There still has to be debriefings. There needs to be a recording of what's going on so that you can learn from it. Learn from your mistakes and your victories. You learn more from your mistakes, I'm here to tell you. Because the only reason you usually have victories is because the other side did something wrong in that sense. And in a disaster, it's because you got lucky. Because God was blessing you if you don't believe in luck. I tend to vacillate on that one. I think sometimes God puts luck out there just for randomness, just like free will. But don't forget these training dates. I just did. The 18th and 19th of June, it's a Saturday and Sunday. And they're free. We don't charge for these. I just ask that you donate to the church. Just throw a few dollars, you know, into the till when it comes around. And I do ask that you fellowship with us. Because we're seeking Christian warriors. We're not seeking people that come in here with an attitude and hate God, because it's just not going to be copacetic and you're going to be asked to leave, and we do that. If you're seeking God or you just don't know, that's cool too. We've got a couple guys that aren't saved yet, but they're seeking and they're asking all the right questions, and their heart's in the right place. So please remember that. Just the third weekend of every month, unless noted. So call me, email me first. You guys have my phone number. It's 559-346-8362. I'm going to give that out in a minute here too. So you're running for your crayons. But you can email me at dutch@dutchjones.info. It's all on the website, dutchjones.info. But the phone number again is 559-346-8362. If I don't have the phone, Stacy has the phone, and she can look up the stuff. We're going to continue to do that training. The Code 20 training, of course, is a little more restrictive. It also is no fee, but we ask that you make a donation to the church when you come up here, or maybe to the teachers. If you want to, I'm not going to go any further with that, but if you want to donate to Steve or I, that is greatly appreciated, especially Steve, because he comes up from Riverside County, and just like the rest of us, he's struggling to make a living. But the Code 20 classes, you're going to learn cell warfare, tactics in the classroom for the first part of the day, and the second part of the day I'm going to take you on the range and teach you all the things you need to know, the basics, some advanced, but mostly basics right now. And you can camp over, you can run around the woods. There's all kinds of cool stuff you can do up here, but the Code 20 trainings, those dates change, but there are some limits. No Mormons, no Masons, no secret society folks, no racists. What else? No criminals, no former criminals, but if you talk to us and you're put in for refusing to put your kid in public school. No what? No current criminals, no socialists, no card-carrying communists, no ACLU, no Southern Poverty Law Center. It's open to men and women, but some women may be offended at the way we present things. It's a little harsher class.
No homos.
Yeah, no homos, no sodomites.
No homos
are fine. No homos. Lou said homos.
I said homos.
Because it's a Christian group. Code 20 is a Christian group. It's a Christian group only. And again, it's open to people that are seeking too. If you're seeking Christ, you can get in and come to the classes. They have a street they evangelize in the street too, so they're always recruiting for people to do that, to go out to the street and spread the word. Their focus, of course, is the threat of Islam. Now, you know, I think all of it's a threat, but hey, I have no problem working with somebody that's focused. There's nothing wrong with that. You're not going to get a lot of New World Order discussion in the classroom, But around the campfire that night, you're definitely going to get it. And over chow, and the next day in church, and you're going to hear a great sermon from Pastor Warren Mark. So these trainings are open to you. Also, if you have a group of five people or more, and you want to come up here and camp at the Church of Kuwait, five can be father, mother, and three kids, and you want to reserve me in the range to train you in just basic pistol, carbine, or something along those lines, or you want some survival training, let me know ahead of time. Arrange for you to come up for the weekend. Again, I just ask that you go to church and you make a little donation to the church, but a minimum of five people. I'll do one-on-one in special occasions, but it's just it takes so much time to put together these classes and stuff. I can do one-on-one, but I just really want to spread the wealth around. So if you can find a couple buddies or something, and you just come up here and camp. Now, we don't have great accommodations. We're working on it. We actually have some people that want to come up here and put a camper trailer up here and leave it. And we're like, yeah, that'd probably be fine. It's up to the pastor, of course. But the hotels are good. We're not going to put you in the... we're not going to pay for your hotel, and we're definitely going to put you in the bridal suite. That was the funny thing. There was only one room left in the whole town. It was a bridal suite. We put Larry and Chris in there, Larry Wick and Chris. I can't remember Chris's last name. I can't remember. Anyway, the institute probably doesn't want me to give his name out anyway. But we had to put him in the bridal suite, which is pretty funny. But it was like a kitchenette. It had multiple rooms. It was more like an apartment, a cinder block apartment. That's what Three Rivers' version of the bridal suite is. A cinder block. You walk in, and the audio was just, your voice was just echoing. I felt like I was in a drum. It was pretty funny. But these trainings, we do them all the time. I have civilians show up. Civilians. Flashback. I have just regular folks in the community that go, hey, we heard about you guys. Can I bring over like five or six of my friends? And I'm like, okay, yeah, I'll train you. Buy me a pizza. They don't ever buy me a pizza. You notice that? They never buy me a pizza. They must think I'm kidding. Yeah, we got about a minute left, Lou, so get ready to go up and go out. So that's what I'm here for. I am your humble servant. You want to find out about Larry Wick? Email me. I'll put you in touch with him if you can't figure out how to do it on his website. You want training up here? You want to come up and meet the pastor? I can arrange it. You want to come up here and hang out and camp and go to church with us? You're invited. You're more than invited. Trust me, it's worth it. It's a beautiful area. We're doing some good things here. And our doors are open to the right people. And if you listen to the show long enough, you know what I'm talking about. We don't want any Nazis, any Klan, any hate mongers. All races, all creeds, all colors, as long as you love Christ. And that's what we're all about. If you love Jesus Christ, we're brothers and sisters. That's the way I look at it. And if you love liberty, we're just cousins and we'll work, right? You know, we may not be brother or sister, but that's what we're going to do. So as that music cues in, we're only doing an hour today. I want to thank Ole Ma, Scotty38, our pod people, for tuning in. I'm sorry we couldn't do the show yesterday, but we will be back tomorrow. It's Thursday with Pastor Warren Mark Campbell, and he's going to be doing Practical Christianity. And Friday we may have a special edition of Code 20 since weren't able to do it last night. So folks, pray for us, pray for this ministry, pray for our country, pray for our states to have courage and stand up. Pray for Texas. Pray for the people of Missouri and Oklahoma. Pray for those that are victims of these calamities and those that survived. Pray that they use this to teach themselves not to depend on others, but to make sure they secure their own future and their own safety and their family's safety by preparing for these things. Even if a tornado took out our house, I still have the training and the abilities to provide. I'm not going to depend on chariots and horses or canned food and hatchets. It's in my mind and in my heart to survive. So remember, our Lord is an awesome God. The sword is heavy, the battle is hard, but the victory belongs to the Lord. Thank you for listening to Stronghold Radio.